Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Maasai. This week, Rabbi Alex Israel discusses Maasai. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. I'd like to dedicate the words of Torah that we're going to learn together in this shiur this week to all of our chayalim, our soldiers who are fighting down south in Gaza, including many sons of Pardes faculty, many loved ones, and even those who we don't know are our dear soldiers. And we hope that they go out in peace and they return shalem ubari, healthy and whole, and that very, very soon life should return back to normal and our southern border should become safe again. This week's parasha is called Maasai. It lists all the travels of Bnei Israel through the wilderness, all the travels of the Israelites. And thinking about traveling, two poems came to mind. One is exceptionally famous, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, where he ends, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I remember once at the Friday night Shabbat table, we were somehow talking about this poem. I think one of my children had been studying it in school, and we said, if two roads diverged in the wood, and one was less traveled, which one would you take? And it was fascinating to see our children's independent personalities as one decided they would definitely go down the one less traveled because they were intrigued by it. And the other one, who's far more safe, said they'd never go down that road. Different people respond differently to traveling. Is traveling, does it give you a sense of danger, a sense of adventure, a sense of excitement, a sense of nervousness? In this regard, I was thinking about a lovely poem by Arik Einstein called Ohev Liot Babait. And he says, Yesh anashim shemetapsim al harim, yesh anashim shetzonchim migvahim, yesh anashim shorochvim al susim, v'yesh ke'ele shegum'im merchakim. Some people like to climb mountains. Others like to parachute from great heights. Some people ride horses. Others travel great distances. Aval ani ohev liot babait. I like to be at home im hatei v'halimon v'asparim hayishanim, with my tea and my lemon tea and my old books. And he says, at the end, he says, Yesh anashim shetamid mechapsim. Some people are always searching. Yesh anashim shetamid megalim. Some people are always discovering. Yesh anashim shohochim begadol. Some people are always looking for the big, next big thing. Lo mevatrim v'rotzim et hakol. They want everything. Aval ani ohev liot babayit. I want to stay at home. I want to remain with my books, with my lemon tea, and with the same lover and the same habits, he says. Im ota ahahuva v'ota meher gilim. How do we relate to travel? Our parashat Shavua, our Torah portion this week, depicts the travel of the Israelites through the wilderness, from their initial point of departure from Egypt to the Promised Land. Was this a good journey? Was this a bad journey? Was this certainly took longer than they anticipated? A journey which they thought would be rather short became protracted and took 40 years. There's one verse in Devarim, chapter 8, where God talks about the way that we went for 40 years, and he says, Leman anotcha lenasotcha. It was a process of suffering and testing. Vayancha v'yarivecha. I made you suffer and you starved. Ve'achilcha tamana shelo yadata v'lo yadun avotecha. And you had to eat the man, a food that you had never experienced, neither your fathers. It sounds like this was quite an arduous mission. So one wonders why our Torah portion gives a account of, in the first 40 verses, 40, even 48 verses of the parasha, where it gives a blow-by-blow itinerary of where Israel, each stage in their journey. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael miramsos v'mirasseis v'yachanu b'sukot. Vayisu m'sukot v'yachanu b'etam asher b'kzeh ha-midbar. Vayisu m'etam v'yashav al-pi achirot. Vayisu m'pi achirot v'yavru b'tochei ha-midbar. And they travel and they journeyed from Ramses and they came to Sukkot. They journeyed from Sukkot, they came to Etam. They journeyed from Etam, they came to Pi Achirot, etc., etc. It's almost rhythmic. What is this describing? I'd like to present a variety of approaches and then maybe to share some further reflections. One approach is given by Rashi in the name of one of his teachers, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan says, why were all these journeys recorded? Lama nichtevu hamasa'ot halalu? And he says, Lehodia chasadav shel makom, to draw attention to God's kindness. Now, Rashi's assumption is that, well, maybe I'll carry on reading the Rashi and then I'll explain it. He says, and I'll read it in English, despite the fact that God had decreed that the Israelites wander through the wilderness for 40 years, don't say that they were in a constant state of movement and travel from place to place throughout the 40 years, and they had no rest. After all, he says, there are only Ein kan ela arba'im ushtay masa'ot. We only see 42 stops or 42 journeys in the 40 years. And he says, 14 of them were in the first year, even before they were decreed to stay in the wilderness. Another 8 journeys took place in the 40th year. And so that we see that in a period of 38 years, the 38 years when they were waiting in the wilderness, they traveled only 20 times. And he says, this is what I learned from Rav Moshe Hadarshan. Rashi's assumption is that the period of 40 years was the period of punishment, harsh punishment. And we might imagine that that harsh punishment was actually the punishment of travel. Travel through the hot, parched desert of the Sinai desert. Very, very difficult to do, especially when you're with elderly people, with children. We do find that in the Torah, every time they travel, the people tend to grumble and complain. And we might think that these 40 years were constant movement, torture, as we wandered aimlessly round and around, not finding anywhere to be. Rashi sees this enumeration of all the places in which we travelled as a sort of redressing that imbalance, giving some sort of positive public relations to God, whereby God said, you'll wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but really we didn't wander very much. In 40 years, we had to travel 20 times. We stay, you know, it's an average of half a year in each place. We didn't travel very much. God, you know, spoke very grandly and said, you will wander for 40 years. But in truth, we only traveled 20 times. It really wasn't so bad. And therefore, the recording of all these different journeys, of all the itinerary of their travels, is really to show that God was much kinder than his initial statement. This is an interesting approach. Let's take another approach, which also is brought by Rashi, in the name of Rabbi Tanchuma. Rabbi Tanchuma read the following message from the parasha. Rabbi Tanchuma darash bo drasha acheret. Mashal lemelech shia b'no chole. It may be compared to a king. God is always compared to the king. Israel will be the son. A king had a sick son. He sent him to a far-off place to heal him. When they were on their way home, his father began to recount all of the places that they had been. Amarlo, Kan Yeshanu, you remember here we slept? Kan hukarnu, here we were cold. Kan chashashte et roshecha, here your head hurt. What's Rabbi Tanchuma's approach here? This is a completely different idea. First thing that Rabbi Tanchuma says here, it may be compared to a king who had a sick son. And he went in pursuit of a cure, of a remedy. For Rabbi Tanchuma, the wilderness is not just an aimless wandering, a punishment, a waiting game for one generation to die out and another generation to be born. It's not just that we're in a state of being turbulently thrust from place to place in a form of punishment and torture. No, Rabbi Tanchuma says that the Jewish people are like a sick son. When we came out of Egypt, what was our sickness? Maybe it was a sickness that we were slaves and lacked independence, lacked courage to encounter the troubles and maybe even the challenges of the promised land. We were sick because we had to build up our confidence. We had to build up our ability to govern ourselves. We were sick because maybe we lacked faith in God. And therefore, the process of going through the wilderness is a process of healing. It's a process of growth. It's a process of rebuilding. It's a process of rehabilitation. And maybe, like any situation which was bad, but now is in the past, it's almost as if our Parashat Shavuah is God reminiscing, almost in a fond, intimate way, with the Jewish people and saying, oh, do you remember we came out of Egypt and we went to this place, we went to that place. And in fact, here Rabbi Tanchuma is relating to something very interesting, because some of the places they mention, for example, verse 14, Vayisu me'alush v'yachanu b'refidim, they went from Alush to Refidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Strange detail to mention. And we left Midbar Sinai, and we came to the place of the graves of the voluptuous, the graves of the desiring. And in other places, he also mentions even somewhat tragic events. They talk about coming to the mountain, Har Har Har, and there Aharon died. Why mention these things? The answer is that when you reminisce, when you look back, even the difficult times, from the perspective of the good health, nothing appears quite as threatening, quite as tragic. From the vantage point of the entry to the land of Israel, when we're right there, we're in a state of good health, and we're primed to fulfill the Jewish mission. Suddenly, we remember even the arduous moments in the Midbar, even the moments of complaint and the moments of sin. We remember it all with a smile. Now it's all good memories. And it's almost as if we can take Rashi, the king, and his son, God is described leafing through the photo album, reminiscing, looking at all the photographs. Oh, do you remember we were in this place and we were in that place? With a certain intimacy of father and son, they've returned from their ordeal stronger and closer than before. So if for our first approach, the first approach of Rashi, Rabbi Moshe Hardarshan, the wilderness was harsh, uncomfortable, unwelcoming, it was a place of punishment and suffering, and the details are there as a defense of God. The second approach, Rabbi Tanchuma, has a very, very different approach. He says that this was a process of growth. This was a process of growing up. This was a process of healing. And that is the tale that is being told by our Parashat Shavuah. One further approach is worthwhile mentioning. And it's particularly interesting because it is quoting the last few words which we read in this week's Haftarah. The last few words of the Haftarah relate to the Haftarah that we just read last Shabbat, relate to the wilderness as a time of love. Haloch, says Jeremiah at the beginning of chapter 2, Haloch v'karata bozni Yerushalayim, go and say into the ears of Jerusalem, Ko amar Hashem, so says God, Zacharti lach chesen uraich, I remember the kindness, I remember the love of your youth. Ahavat klulotayich. Those first days, those loving, romantic days of your wedding. Lechtecha charay b'mibar, when you followed me into a wilderness, be'eretz lo zru'ah. to a place which was desolate. The Sephorno picks up on this and says, God wished to write the travels of Israel to tell us of their great merit in following God. As he said, go to the wilderness, a land that was not sowed, in a way that would make them befitting to enter the land of Israel. It says, according to this, I don't think it's a question of punishment. I don't think it's a question of healing, but rather all the different stops, all the different stations on our desert journey are enumerated in order to show Israel's dedication to God. They never abandoned the mission. They went dedication, following God by night and by day, going along with his plans, almost like a honeymoon, like a bride blindly following her groom. Why? Because we loved God so much. And this is a remarkably different interpretation of this travel itinerary, because it's there to show the extent of Israel's dedication, love, and commitment to God. So it's very interesting to think about this question of why we need to have this long list of all the different places. But let me maybe say one last note here. I started off with the idea of travel, and I told you about Robert Frost, who was so excited to go on the path less traveled by, and Arik Einstein, the famous Israeli singer, who sings about his desire to not go on any travels and not to jump up, climb any mountains, but rather just to stay at home with his lemon tea. I wonder which one you identify with. But I'd like to make a last point. Frequently we perceive travel as a means to an end. Sometimes we travel so that we can reach our destination. We want to get to a certain place. We want to reach a certain city. In that situation, journey is a nuisance. It's an inconvenience, maybe a necessary inconvenience, because we need to traverse great distances. And in modern times, we're delighted if we can, you know, take a direct flight, or we can go on a high-speed train and minimize the difficulty of the journey and the strain of traveling. Traveling in this perception is tedious and it's uncomfortable, it's grueling, and we want to get it over and done with. That's one perspective of travel. It's just a means to an end. Of course, there are other times when travel is an end in itself. People will take a year off after college, a year off work, simply to travel. And when we travel in that sense, it's a process of discovery. Travel is a process of positive experience to be savored and absorbed. It will enrich and enlighten the traveler as they experience new sights, sounds, people, smells, experiences. And when we travel in this way, we look to expand our horizons. We look to grow and learn. We look to challenge ourselves. We look to experience new insights, to expand our human experience. One of the questions which divides these commentators is whether Parashat Masseh, this itinerary of Israel's travel, is the first type or the second type. According to the first approach, travel is just arduous, and we'd prefer the less travel, the better. According to the second approach, whether it's healing or whether it's love, travel is enriching. It's a time for growth. It's a time for learning. It's a time for hanging out with God, so to speak, for building the love. It's a time for change. It's a time of development. And in this regard, if we can take this latter approach, there's a very beautiful midrash in the Mechilta where they raise exactly this question. Why didn't God bring Israel to the land directly? If travel is so hard, if it's so mind-numbing, if it causes so much pressure and stress, why do it? And the Midrash says the following, the Mechilta says the following. God did not bring the people of Israel on the direct route. Instead, he took them through the desert. God said, if I bring them to the land of Israel now, straight from Egypt, everyone will immediately involve themselves with their field, their agriculture, or their vineyard, and they'll pay no attention to Torah. Instead, I will take them through the wilderness. They'll eat the manna and drink water from the well, and the Torah will become absorbed within their body. The end of our Parshat Shavua, the end of our Torah portion this week, deals with the borders of Israel. It deals with the setting up of cities in Israel. In fact, the whole latter section of the book of Bamidbar has been dealing with the impending invasion of the land of Israel, conquering the land and settling it. In other words, what is on the table at the moment is the building of a society and the setting up of a new nation state. Suddenly, Parshat Maaseh takes us on a retrospective and lets us look backwards and realize that we've come over 40 years in over 40 installments, station by station, part by part, to the land of Israel. And I think this midrash is trying to tell us something interesting. Even before we take on statehood, we have to pay attention to the building of our society. In the world of the midrash, it's talking about building our relationship with God. It's talking about tying the bonds of the Jewish people with their ethos, with the Torah, with the ideas that are going to be formative to the body politic of the Jewish people. And therefore, as we're, as a nation, standing on the edge of the promised land and about to, we might be just filled with logistical thoughts. How is the invasion going to be planned? How are we going to settle the land? Who's going to get this hill and that valley? Who's going to get that portion? How are we going to set up our government and our national defense, our infrastructure and our economy? We take a pause and we say, wait, let's look back. Let's look through that photo album. Let's appreciate where we've come from. Let's understand that we're not the same nation who came out of Egypt. And it's interesting that there isn't just a list of places. There's this sense of Vayisu Vayachanu. And they set out and they encamped. They set out and they encamped. And much like the same as our lives. In our life, we go through various stages. We are on a journey. We're not the same person at 40 years old as we were when we were 30, as we were 20, as when we were 15, as when we were 10. Because the experiences of our life shape and form us. They challenge us and they help us to grow. So even though this is quite a sterile account of places, I think it's trying to explain to us that the Jewish people are constantly developing, constantly facing challenges, and constantly have to find the wherewithal to build ourselves to meet those challenges. And if we think about that, then we'll always be on the edge of our seat, trying to think how the experience which surround us, we can use them and not look at them as an irritant, not look at them as an obstacle simply to be overcome, but actually maybe even savor every challenge as an opportunity for growth, as an opportunity for taking our lives forward, so that we will be able to be that much stronger, well-rounded, and ability to face future challenges for ourselves, for our community, and for the entire Jewish people. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.